What's up, everybody? Cody DeQuisto here, and welcome back to the DeQuisto Series Podcast. Dad and I are in the studio here, and today we are going to talk about whitetail senses, and more specifically, sight versus scent. A deer's sense of smell versus their eyes. The industry trend has always revolved around scent and beating a deer's nose, and although this is an extremely important thing, we feel that a whitetail's eyesight may be more important.
There you have it. That is
really getting jacked up.
So over the years, and getting more aggressive as the years went on in hunting, scent was really a critical thing years ago, it seemed to me, in my forte of hunting.
And it still is, right?
It is to some point, but if you think about it, and you think about when I hunted a lot of public years ago, or a lot of even private with a ton of guys on, think of all the chaos and scent left behind, and the place is just muddied up. I noticed these big whitetail literally rely more on their eyes than their nose, in the sense that in their environment, as they're living or bedded up, they're always watching. And you know how a lot of that suburban hunting was years ago. They turn that on and off. If you're in there, they're not moving. If you're not, they get up and they're moving around. They can actually visually see you. And a lot of the biggest deer that I hunted over the years were deer that I cracked the nut of them. I realized I was being watched going to my stand, being watched going to my setups. And when I started thinking about that and setting up and approaching areas a little more careful with the thought that, you know, if there is a deer on that ridge there, I can't come to this red hot spot right here and set up. He's going to watch me and he's not going to show. So the big one I was hunting a couple of years ago, perfect example, I set up on a creek crossing in a big bowl or in the bottom, a huge vast area. And the sign was there. It was like, I'm going to kill this thing tonight. He's coming through daily here. This is the spot I picked for him. And I'd get down in there and I wouldn't see a deer. And then I would bounce around. I'd come back, the same thing, nothing. So I got back off that spot, got halfway up a ridge where I could watch that spot. And lo and behold, six different bucks came down through there, watered on the creek bottom, and moved on through. Them deer were bedded up on them rims, just watching me the whole time when I was down there.
Well, movement is so huge too, and that's one of the things that when people ask me about not wearing camo or hunting low and all that, and they'll smell you, right? So that there's a lot of times that they'll smell you. Even we talked previously about that thermal creep, and they might get that slightest bit, and if it doesn't ruin your hunt, right? Or they smell you, and you know they smell you because you can see their mannerisms. They know something's off. But that sight, they're looking for that visual confirmation. Then they start looking, like they always start to look.
Right.
Post versus if they see you, they almost, they're not going to stick around to make sure they smell you. It's so, you know, I mean,
if you're in bigger open hardwoods, and let's say there's a buck out there that's 200 yards out there, gets a glimpse of you, and he stops and he don't move for 10 minutes and just stares at you, you're done.
Yeah, so
you don't have a clue what's going on.
And that's what I'm getting at. So like, to whereas, you know, if you look on each hand, okay, what is the more crucial? Would I rather be spotted or smelled, or you know, what they use more? That kind of tells you right there. I mean, there's so many times where I've gotten a deer killed that sort of knew something was up, but I was so statue, and I knew that if... And they look, you know, they're looking for you. They're trying to figure out what they're smelling.
And they almost got to get up on you to get that smell where they can literally see you from hundreds of yards away and then just go the other way. So,
and that's where hunting low too. My biggest thing that I tell people that they try, and this drives me nuts more than anything, is they try and call bullshit on it, and they've never even hunted low. Or, you know, like, oh, well, you can't do that in Kentucky, or you can't do that in Canada, or you can't do that in Wisconsin, or... Everybody's walk to school is always harder than the other person's walk to school. So, but I think what people are missing from this concept is also, I think they're getting busted because they're moving too much and they're not.
Well, so I see when we started talking about that a few years back, and there was a post on the guy's sent a picture of a tree and said, man, this is the perfect one I'm getting on with a small tree. And I looked at that tree and I thought, oh my God, that is the worst tree you could sit in. You're dead center of everything. You need to stay out of that cone or that line of sight of a whitetail no matter what your setup, if you're high, low, or whatever. But here's something that's interesting, and I've mentioned it before, that I noticed. Years ago, a whitetail had to have a nose check on you. It could spot you, and if it couldn't smell you, it didn't trust its eyes. And things are just upside down nowadays. A whitetail does not need to smell you to bug out. It spots you and it's gone.
See, and that's kind of what I was getting at. So that, like, what I have found, and I, you know, didn't hunt probably back when you were talking, but I've hunted different places now too, and I noticed that it can vary versus where you are in the pollution of smell. Like, so when I was down, you know, I hunted a pretty urban area, down in Ohio, and I mean, I could literally smell Tim Hortons muffins cooking from where I was sitting, and so much traffic and dog walkers and all that. There was, it was such a polluted area of scent.
Those deer are watchers there.
Yeah. Versus, you know, then getting 3 hours south and I'm up in the mountains and like nobody's walking there, right. You know, but, you know, and although it varies, one thing I've never been spotted and it'd be okay, you know what I'm saying? So like, or that's what I would say. Like, I mean, I don't know, like if I get cracked on movement, like if they catch, you know, catch me putting my hood down or something, and they like, I mean, you might pull up.
That's weird that you mentioned that, because I'm gonna go about, and I know it bugs the shit out of you, but with my head net, I'll have setups where the deer will come through and they just all of a sudden they just boom, they look right at you, and I know that if I didn't have that head knot down at that time...
Wait, you don't have the head net on, do have it on?
In this scenario, if the deer looked up, bagged me, and I did not have a head net on...
But she's not catching you of movement, though.
I'm talking... This is the stone cold out... There's a guy in a tree there.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
With the head net down, they'll do that, do the reaction,
yep.
And all of a sudden they just...
But what I'm saying, they didn't confirm that you were a human because they didn't get a visual of movement or anything.
Seen something different.
Now, if you scratched your ass, I mean, like, she might, you know, she ain't coming back. But
yeah, obviously, you're not moving around. But
I get what you're saying, because I have that happen all the time. And to where you use the head net, I tried the head net. I mean, I had a head net for many years. You know, you had a head net, so I had a head net. I can't take something being over my. It's like it's obstructing my vision. Maybe my eyes are going bad. I use a hood now. And I do the same thing.
Yeah, you're behind that.
I'm behind the hood, you know, so I can tuck in almost like a turtle kind of.
And you still can't be in that line of vision. It's the worst place to be.
You're asking for trouble. I mean, I've ended up in that line of vision and got away with it, but it makes everything. It makes
look
the
at these deer
horrible.
Right now.
Oh, dude, it's. Yeah,
I'm in the most covered up trees and shit, and them dolls were looking right into your soul, you know.
And that's what's really tough about. Late season.
Well, here's a good point. So one of the guys that you're having some words with, he should get out on this property and try and hunt high late season out here. And I'll guarantee you might as well forget about it, because they pick you out and they go the other way. Now, you got to remember, there's probably dozens of other guys around this area that these deer are getting experienced with that maybe aren't real careful hunters, and they're educated, and any movement, they go the other way. So
yeah. But yeah, and at a base, no matter, you know, even if, let's say you're high up and you're in cover, or if you're low or you're on the ground, I mean, like, the movement, I mean, you can't be whipping your head around, you can't be doing a lot of that stuff. Now,
what would you say right now at this time would it be sight or scent is the more
critical? I would definitely think probably sight, because, I mean, I've been trying to get after this buck here. Well, you know, and everybody, I talk to guys out east or down south or buddies and stuff, and they always ask how it's going. And you know, in this farm country late here, and everything is bare and it's cold and it's windy, and it's like these, and they herd up, and now you're not only trying to beat the sight and the sense of that one deer, you got. I mean, they're herded up. So there's so many eyes. And that was, you know, when I had a buddy hunt out here a couple years ago and filmed me, they couldn't even believe it, you know, like it was just different from what they experienced. But like, if you aren't on your shit, I mean, you're getting bagged 100%.
Yeah, you definitely be off to that side, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. But I would say most overall for me, I think a big bucks vision. So I got two on video this year. You'll probably see the one actually you shot where they got a little inclination, like you said, a sight. But then I videoed nonstop. 14.
You mean scent?
Or they got the scent.
Yeah, they got the scent. Not
they
sight.
Got
yeah.
something that was up.
Yeah.
And a big buck doesn't run into danger. It walks away from, you know, from that. That deer would not move, and it froze, and it stood, and it stared my way for 14 minutes and 40 some seconds. That thing was not going to make a move, and he was bound to see what or figure it out. And I just try and sit still. That still. Now I had a head net down, so I got that advantage. But try and sit that long with that deer staring. Now, imagine if I didn't get a glimpse of that deer at that yard and watched him.
Oh, he'd have caught you. Yeah.
Oh man, he would have been gone. Well, I would have never known it.
That's what I. So I've used this to describe numerous times talking to people, and I call it painfully still. Nice. Like when you hunt like this time of year. If you're going up, or even that night where I almost got that one killed a couple days ago, I'm going into it knowing like this is going to hurt. Because, I mean, you cannot move. You cannot, you know, especially when you're low and you're trying to get that close shot. But
that's why I sit so much. I can't stand that long.
And that's where I, so that's what my next thing I was going into is everybody asked me, oh, are you a sitter or a stander? You aren't, this is a fact. You are not as stable on 2 feet as you are sitting on your ass. I've been cracked at just the sway of my body millimeters because I couldn't stabilize. That's movement. And on a calm cold day, it happened to me the other day. I mean, I was so still and so, but I got caught in that standing position before I could set up, and these does started to funnel through. And I mean, I'm talking the slightest sway in my because I couldn't, you know, I just,
and never make that move while them deer are, even if they're you're in your peripheral vision, make sure they turn completely away, and then you make any little move you got to make because they're catching it this time of year. They're just, it's a different time of year. So I would say I wouldn't even lean toward it, but more scent early, still visual then, but you got so much cover and so much canopy and not the molested deer. Now it's just a whole different thing. So high pressured areas, you see a lot of guys on our post, Mobile Hunter United, talking about the deer that are bedded watching the parking lots and watching people come and go. They've been doing it from time. That's the way those deer bed up even now. They got visuals on their backtrack of what's dangerous, and they can smell a little behind them. But we talked about this. Go try, you know where these deer bed in these points and knobs here. There is no way to get up to them deer without what I'm seeing you. It's all just open rock croppings and no cover. And so you don't hunt the deer where they're at. You hunt them where they're going. That's probably the biggest key to it. And your setups, it's great to have. I love a stand that I can see a long way. And I'm a visual guy too. I like to see what's going on. And I watch. I don't just sit there twiddling my thumbs. And so I'm hunting while I'm in there from a distance. I'm covering stuff with binocs. But you really have to have your A game on with them at this time of the year because they're watching and they're taking their time. They're doing a visual and then they're moving through and they're taking their time, and it's tough to beat the eyes.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing all year round. I mean, it really is, and I think a lot of times it's not open for us, but they're seeing. Just like in that Coliseum situation, you know, even, I mean, they're watching, you know, they're seeing it early in the year too. And guys are getting busted. Guys are getting spotted that aren't even knowing it. Like, it's happening all the time.
Yeah. Well, years ago, it was a perfect story. I had a friend wanted to just fill a doe tag, put him on a bait out in a tamarack swamp, and he wasn't seeing a deer every day. Well, you know the tamarack. You cannot go out there without seeing a deer. I'm like, what is this guy doing? So I became the deer at a distance, and I watched him in the stand. I was watching him standing up, turning around, fumbling around, and then 300 yards to the right in a swamp, I'm watching a whole group of does all standing there, just watching him fiddling around. When he came in that night, I asked him, what'd you see? Not a deer again. So, I mean, it's just, and, you know, set up accordingly. So, let's say you're in open hardwoods and you can see a lot. Maybe you don't want to be in the open hardwoods where you can see a lot. Maybe you want to be in some tucked in little cover in the open hardwoods where you can see a lot, but nothing could see you and your little nest. And you do that well at your 2 feet high in a brushy area. Something's going to have to be looking right at you to spot you moving in there. So become the watcher, I guess what I'm saying. Step back, do a visual. And if you want to address that to scouting and stuff too, just like you do, if you get set back in a little nook and cranny, you don't see a lot, right? You're in kind of in the bubble. But if you get outside that bubble and look at the whole visual, you get a lot of more visual to that. So I notice deer stay in the cover too, but always looking out into that more open stuff. Do the same thing. Your access points when you hunt, stay low, stay to cover. And getting into those stands without those deer seeing you is critical.
Yeah, walking, you know, I did a post about this and it got a lot of personal messages about using a creek bottom, you know, in that low bank to where you essentially are undetectable sneaking into a stand. And, you know, got a lot of questions about that and about...
And it's crazy because you could make some noise or in a swamp, in a crunchy swamp. As long as you're not seen,
that's another thing. And that was one... So people, I think, also, you know, on this whole, you know, we're not really doing a whole senses thing, but then in your line of senses, you know, you got sound. And everybody... And there's a lot of people who think that sound is a huge killer. And I think that only when...
Certain sounds, eh?
Well, I mean, there's certain...
Your phone going off?
Yeah, there's certain sounds, but like that... That combination, it's like, you know, everybody isn't, and I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but I think this would be a good topic. But everybody asks me like, oh, well, like, what do you do when you get busted or if you got busted? And I think there's five different levels of getting busted. I mean, if you get, you know, if they catch your scent, that's one thing. If they see you, that's one thing. I think like the trifecta of them getting your scent, then identifying you and actually seeing you, like that's a whole different game now, because like it's before they
if it's the animal you're after, worry about it. If it's other ones that are there and get the hell out of the way,
well,
it's still a fresh shit to me.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing.
Move on.
Yeah. And that's where like even this buck this year, I got so bent out of shape and in my own head, because when I had him so close. And like you said, you know, you mentioned about that deer staying still. Now, I was hunting this deer in his, actually just feet from the bed that I kicked him out of the day before, looking for that bump and dump success. And when he came in and he knew, he knew something wasn't up, he stood there. I mean, it could have been close to 20 minutes, you know, at literally three paces from the tree, and just did not even know. And I'd never seen a deer sidestep. That fucker sidestepped out of there as slow as he possibly could, and just until he was in the safe. But then thinking about that, I'm like, well, and I thought in my head at that point in time, though,
was that the one you were after?
That was the big one. Yeah. The
oh,
one that I shot
on him.
As he's creeping away, I did think, because he's literally five paces, not yards. Mm. He's right there. I'm 8 feet up in a tree. And now he's drifting away. I thought, like, you know, if I stand up super quick and I go to draw, I might be able to squeeze an arrow in him. But then I quickly went back. I didn't want to give him the whole shebang.
Right.
He knew something was up, but...
Could have blew a whole gig done for that.
Well, yeah, and I knew that he got a little bit of me, but I didn't know how... I don't know what the hell he was thinking, so... I don't even know. But I didn't want... I was terrified of the visual. I did not move. I did not want him to get that visual confirmation of him being hunted from a tree. Because then...
And how many yards is he away from you? About
2 yards, maybe?
Yeah. Did you ever have one of those ones that all of a sudden then just looked up and his eyes just blew out of its holy shit, it's over.
Yeah, that's happened.
That's
but,
ugly.
Well, luckily, too, I was in a, it was a gnarled mess, and that's why I couldn't shoot him, because there was some cover between me and him. But even
you need
if,
that to get to that point, you got to have that cover, you know. So.
Yeah, and that was a, but anyway, but, you know, that keeping in my mind that, you know, not, that visual being huge.
As long as we're talking about senses, let's go back to that, the ears. And I mess with this all the time because I test and I do things with, you know, I experiment with all kinds of stuff. So I'll jag around with deer some. It is amazing to me how much of the right noise you can get away with and how little of the wrong noise that you can get away with. The sound of this synthetic material, a little rough, will light a whitetail up and you can drop something out of your stand and hit the branches and stuff and not even, and the deer won't even acknowledge that something happened. So there's good, the sound of aluminum going across a rest, that's a big no-no. Any tinging and tanging aluminum.
That slide, that death slide, they call it.
I literally, when I developed that casting years ago, back then, that was what was not sealing the deal for a lot of guys, was that last minute, your stand creaking or making that unnatural noise was destroying guys. And once we fixed that, there was a bunch of success in that. And I think it's still to this day, there are, like I said, there's good noise you can get away with. Guys don't hunt when it's crunchy and noisy out. I'm like, deer are all there making racket going, do not be seen and do not be freaking winded. And you can walk within 50 yards of them with that cracking and crunching. So,
well, and a lot of times it seems louder to you. That buck that I shot last year, that 8-pointer, I remember I had to do the big loop in, and I went,
loud.
It was October 31st. It was Halloween. I don't think it rained or anything for, I mean, it was so dry, and the floor, the timber floor was covered in leaves. And I remember high kneeing it through there to try, you know, the first maybe. And then I thought to myself, like, what are you even doing? Like, you know, you just, it's about getting there. But I made so much damn noise. And I did the big loop, but to me, it sounded like it was that. But, I mean, to deer out there that are moving around
how many times has that noise brought bucks right into you? Because it's more of a natural noise.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
natural versus unnatural is, I've been sick all this year. And I'll tell you one thing they don't like either is a human coughing in the woods. Yeah. It's a big no-no, so.
Yeah, that
somebody needs to develop a cough grunt that when you can cough into it and muffle it. But
yeah, that tickle in the throat can be.
I'm almost gonna say vision first, scent second, audio, or ears maybe third.
You know, well, and I just so it's intriguing too because I think it's super important, and like you said, you're always testing things, and I'm always trying to watch things to learn, right? So I've really become fascinated with their mannerisms and their ear and watching their ears and watching where they're trying to pick up sound from and, you know, how they might be reacting, like versus how they're, you know, they're definitely using that sense for sure. I mean, but to a point to where, I mean, they're like eagle eyeing everything at all times, you know, and making sure that.
And that's tough. If I've got caught with the deer coming my way and then knowing something's up and staring that way where I was getting ready and got the bow in the hand and all that and then got caught with a 20-some minute wait. And you just fall apart, man.
That's rough.
A human is not geared. And to this day, I don't know how a deer can stand so still, not blink an eye, not move a muscle, and just stare. It's beyond comprehension to me that they can do that. So
yeah, it's
you ain't got a chance.
No, yeah.
I don't care what you're wearing, camo or whatever. But
well, then you know, and God forbid you get in, like you grab that bow and you got your bow hand like exposed or something, or you got your
you're done.
Especially in this temperatures, you know, I mean it's getting down. It was -5 the other morning, but and it. Yeah, you're not beating.
But you talk about loud noise, so
stare off.
The other day, the deer came down to the creek and were busting through to get drinks and crossing. It sounded like a bulldozer down in the bottom. it didn't bother any other deer around there if you'd been running through or crunching through and doing your own deal, as long as you ain't seen.
Well, even in North Dakota, too, I remember I was creeping around, and I never experienced the sound that a fucking elk makes in the moving through these, oh my God. I'm like, what the, you know, it was, I mean, yeah, it's a natural sound, but I just remember thinking, like, dude, the audibles that are coming out of this thicket right now, like, I can do anything. I can be breaking branches. I can be trimming things. I get that shit don't matter. Oh. On this tangent, I think it's, you know, now that we're kind of, this is evolving to a little bit more of like a sense, overall sense, is like, what about that sixth sense? What about that, that sense?
That's got to do with, I think the electricity that person puts off.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, first of all, you definitely believe in that.
It's
right?
100%. Yeah, I've been on setups where first time in, had stuff coming through, and then all of a sudden the one you're focusing on killing just knows. And that's...
Well, and that's, see, I think that's got something to do with like I don't know what you'd call it, like the energy that we're emitting with that thought and intent, right?
Right.
But it's funny too, because there's this evolution in hunting and trophy hunting, and I think in just being in the timber and being out there, to where everybody
equate it to when a guy gets
with the deer you see
when you first start hunting. All the opportunities you have, you're relaxed. You ain't got a clue what's going on. You're not overthinking shit. You're just out there hunting, and you've seen all the stuff. If you only knew what you know now back then all of a sudden you get...
Well, then it goes the opposite way.
Right. You start overthinking this. Your mind's working. You're all wired up and anticipating this thing, and you can't... You got to be the big lion that's just relaxed. And where you're going to learn that is with experience, getting kills under your belt, and when a 150 doesn't even ruffle your feathers, and you're in a different game.
And that's what I meant about this evolution, right? So people, I always hear it. Like, dude, how are you... Like, oh, you see all these... how are these bucks getting... Would the same thing happen if it was a 230-inch deer? Probably not.
Yeah,
because that right there is what I... You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Remember the flyer buck crushed me that night?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it did 6 cents. I mean, it was one of the first bucks that I got startled, and then I just got pissed about it. Like, what? It's just another big deer. But at that point in time, that deer sensed what was coming off of me and kind of just bugged off the right way for him. And also, when you're relaxed and you're not really all wired up on that, I think it's a whole different game. And that sight, do not make eye contact with any of them deer. Even when you're looking at them, do not make eye contact, because it's something that could be seen from hundreds of yards through the woods. I don't know how accurate or laser... I think they can actually see your eyeballs from 200 yards.
I think it's got to
literally
do,
the pupils they could see. That's
I think it's got to do with the glare and the transfer of light, like in an eye. I mean, like,
there's
you know,
a connection there. So back to it again. Next year when you're hunting a little bit, think about this. Instead of being the watched, become the watcher and start thinking about these deer visually, monitoring and keep an eye on you. Change up your access a little bit more, change up your setups, and do some of your scouting and from your tree. Maybe you don't dive right in to the intimate spot. Maybe you sit back a little bit, see what's going on, and then ease in. So
yeah, there is a lot of power in an observation sit, and it might, and you know, we hear this all the time, guys bash the observation sit or don't want to burn a sit, they call it. And I mean, you know, I personally like...
That's ridiculous.
I like cheating that line. I like to get as much of an observation sit that I can, with also thinking, like, I could probably kill this deer, too. Like, if I'm, you know, now, and there's certain times that... But, I mean, I've you know, went crazy for a week in the past trying to figure out something that I could have backed up and found out
in one day.
So...
Here's a perfect example. You got a field edge, 20 acre long field edge. That's got all kinds of little indents, grooves and shit. No snow on the ground. You'd have to walk it to read all the sign. And you sit on the opposite side of the field and watch that whole side in one evening, right? And you see where a buck comes out. Get on that side, drop in a pocket, hunt another pocket. You will never find out where that it might take you a couple of days. You might see them, then off to the left you come out, then you got to dive over there. Sit back and watch, and then moving for the kill. And I know some very successful hunters that are...
Well, and I think that's a big thing to that's one of the... All these
I don't
questions.
Like to give up a day either hunting.
Well, so. And neither do I. And all these people, and that's the biggest thing I get is people, they hear, with all the success that you've had, that I've had in bed hunting, in close quarter hunting, and in preaching this aggressive tactic, they think that, and sometimes, I mean... I think people are getting too, like, there's no point. Like, when you could back up and figure out what's going on with one observation sit and then methodically kind of ease your way in and kill something, like, why go, you know, what is the purpose of, sometimes people are getting too aggressive too quickly, I think, and they're ruining their hunts versus, because they're scared to burn a sit.
Well, they're probably not rushing in to seize the spot that they know is right. They're rushing in to go in and hunt that spot. They're not really, they don't have the right spot. They're just kind of in that general area.
Well, all they're thinking is
not surgically removed. They're going at it with a hatchet instead of a
They're thinking that they have to be aggressive and figure this out. And you know, it's, and that's working. That's another thing, working yourself up too. Like, and honestly,
that's why, you know, I was a big field edge hunter years ago, and I like the field edge hunt to this day. When you're sitting in the middle of the woods in a little pocket, well, what do you see?
You don't
see your little pocket.
Yeah, you don't see shit. But that's where I personally believe that, and it's just like that buck that I was, that, you know, I had buddies that were hunting in the area and all that, and everybody's seeing all these deer, and everybody's, oh, what'd you see? Well, I didn't see anything. What do you mean you didn't see any deer? No deer. Well, like, you know, and talking to people, oh, aren't you hunting, like, you know, this good piece of property? I'm like, well, like, what does that mean? You know, I'm hunting where I know this deer is, and I'm just hunting for that deer. I'm not looking to find deer. I knew what I was doing, but that is where I think, you know, people get discouraged. But you have to win that mentally first too. You have to know what you're doing, and that confidence is something, you know, you can't, you know, you got to.
It's like when I talk about red hot sign.
You got to hold on to that.
People associate red hot sign, which is red hot sign. Tons of trails, beat the shit, all kinds of deer, tons of deer. I might find a spot that has one huge set of tracks that's coming through it every day. That's red hot. It's being used every day by that one buck. That's red hot sign to me. Huge rub developing on it, you know. So, perfect example, you talk about the... So you're hunting this buck here. You've been in and out of there now. You're seeing him just about every day. He's not bugging out. He's got to be known that somebody's on his ass at some little bit. You're leaving tracks in the snow and scent. He lives here. He's still coming here. He might be doing a little better of watching maybe than you are, you know. So
and that's where this particular hunt, and to whereas I've had two opportunities to close the deal, and you know, having this recurve is definitely a little bit of a game changer. But that's where I'm also thinking too, on a visual standpoint, I haven't been pressuring this deer in the morning because I've been scared to kind of, not scared, but I know so much about his evening pattern and what he's doing. I don't want to screw him up first half of the day, and I don't want to give him another visual and give him more pressure. At least he knows. And as long as I'm seeing him, I know I'm in the game, and you know, it's been close.
Yeah, it goes back to, I'll do the same thing. I'll give him a few hunts. You got that piece of puzzle, hunt him in the evening, but then if it don't work out, go for broke and dive in.
Yeah,
and be there where he's.
And it's a system, you know. I mean, just kind of as you go making those calls. What was I gonna?
Well, you could talk about the visuals between bucks and does. Damn doe spots something. She just don't let it go. They got to come over and they got to figure out what the hell it is, and they just don't like to let it go. Or a buck would maybe just change up its pattern and head a different direction, or he's seen enough already. He really don't need to know what it is. So,
yeah, these does this time of year too. Well, all time of year, and we don't do a good enough job of that of getting rid of some of these does. But
yeah, they're like pissing on a rainforest, forest fire. I mean,
but they I mean, well, that's their job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the herd protectors. And you'll see, the craziest thing to me is as a hunter, and you know, even going in there, right? Like this time of year, like you got to beat that one. You got to beat that one. You know.
You're sitting as an example right now. I was off the phone with Brad. Called me before the show, and I went to pull sticks on that top where that big bedding flat is. Drove in there, and they were all bedded up there. I would say two of those deer seen me and just blew out. The whole herd was piling out. And I'm watching, and there was one buck standing there looking the direction that all the deer were coming, and he wasn't going anywhere. He was just sitting watching. They all bugged out. Still stood there staring that way. Then I went and I had to pull a couple sticks off of a stand sight there. Went in there, finally got a little glimpse of me and still wasn't going anywhere. He was letting me go about my business. And then I went out to the fence and I got on a call with Brad. And I said, Brad, it's always the same. I said, these deer always come back. And while I was sitting there talking bullshit with him, I could see in there all these deer that bolted out of there were all filtering back into bed again. And what makes sense is two of those deer probably seen me. Those two deer might not come back. But the other 35 deer that are in there, they are all trickling back in and coming back into bed again because they didn't know what the hell it was. It might have been a coyote went through or what the hell the deal is. But the ones that got the visual, you probably not going to have a chance of killing it. And that buck probably just either bedded back right down there or wigged out and bedded somewhere else. So... start watching. And I know you do that. I don't know if a lot of guys do. When you're in your tree stand, you don't just sit there and all of a sudden a deer shows up. Pull them binoculars up and look. And literally in the morning when nothing's going on, I mean, look in thickets for antlers and pieces of deer. You'll be surprised how many bucks you'll see bedded up not far from you that were already bedded when you got in there, don't know you're there, and now you've learned something. Where if you just get up there and you twiddle your thumbs, do a few pulls, then get out. You really didn't hunt that morning. You were sitting waiting for a kill spot. So you can do some hunting from the stand visually.
Yeah, I hear a lot from people who talk about getting out of their stand and kicking up bucks that they didn't even know were there. And I'm like, well, what the hell are you doing, you know? But that you got to be in it. You got to be actually putting forth some effort. Like, you can only do so much. You know,
so for me, I think it's vision. You?
I would honestly say, man, this whole time I've been really contemplating my actual answer because I'm trying to think of all these things and I know that sight is such a crucial thing because of all the stuff we just talked about. And I'm almost it's just easier to beat the sight. Now the sight is, I think, more important, but you know, you start talking about like the thermal creep and all that, and you start talking about just scent.
But with that high population of people and deer used to seeing people, and they really do, boy, they'll just turn around, and they'll just watch you go on through, and then they'll just step in behind you and head off. And I don't know if a lot of you guys come in and out the way you do with snow, but start paying attention, and you'll be surprised how many huge bucks will pick up your track, follow you right on through. Do they know you're a hell out of their area? And then they go about their business again. These deer live in these areas. They're not getting blown out or burnt out. Obviously, if you have a small piece, they could get onto your neighbors or whatever. But they live where they live, and you can't burn them out. So, and now, this is kind of nice when we get these deer that winter in certain areas or come on here to winter that don't live here. You've probably seen bucks come to this property during a rut. A few of them that just, they've never been here before. They ain't got a freaking clue where the danger's at, where any spots are at, and they're pretty simple in their movements. But someone that's come down a trail his entire life, all of a sudden there's a screw and step or a stick on a tree. It's like, you're not pulling that wool over their eyes. So I'm not a rattler. I don't do a lot of grunt calling. I don't do any. My whole portray, even though I go bust all around, burn up a lot of area, when I settle into my spot, it's what I call virgin sit, and it's complete under supply. A whitetail walking through the woods with no clue, no scent of you, not hearing you, is a way easier animal to ambush than all of a sudden something's up and they start looking. You get them eyes looking and you're done.
Yeah.
You just made it a job almost impossible to beat.
What you're doing, right? You're hunting an animal that has impeccable senses.
Right.
Sight, smell, sound, right? Like, I mean, they're turned on, right? I mean, now in the rut, it's a little different. But anyway, like these animals, they got their shit together. And what you're doing, you're giving up your location.
I mean, exactly.
You're making a bunch of racket. Now they know, they'll pinpoint where your tree's at. Now they got something to look for.
I always use that time that once you rattling, I don't know how many bucks you said you rattling that morning, but I was hunting a pretty good one. I was on a knob. And he just got up out of his bed and was going to start making a move down. And you went into a rattling sequence. And I ain't saying that scared the deer at all. That deer stopped, listened, and all of a sudden, just like a statue, he just stood up on that mountain. He was not freaking coming down. He just
peak rut, November 12th or something. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But it was like these bucks were running. And I rattled in, man, I don't even know if it was like 12 bucks or something. You know, some of them I never even seen before. Some now, you know, and at this point in time in hunting, and I had never killed a buck in November. I couldn't figure it out because everything I ever did never landed me anything. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I need to. And now when I set up in this spot.
Guys kill deer on it with their horns. And
But
that's their.
That's their thing. You know, same thing with calling. Some people know how to call, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But so I figured I'm going to try it. But when I did try it, what I did was I made sure I was right up on the edge of a cedar thicket. And I was on the top of a draw that I knew these bucks would be cruising way down low. And the idea was to bring them up and shoot them, you know, and I'd get them shot before they knew any of the wiser. And I was just trying to pull them out of this bottom because they weren't running where I was at. And what I found was I was actually doing it on visual. So when I'd see, I'd have my binos and I would see what was cruising through this draw, just through the openings and through the cedars. And if I'd see a body, I'd smack those horns together. And every single deer I'd seen came up right to me. Mm-hmm. Now, they came up to me, and then once they got up to me, I didn't give a shit.
Right. But when I experiment too, it's not in an intimate setting. It's like, there's a deer that obviously ain't coming your way, just to see what he would do.
Yeah.
I messed around with it over the years, and it's...
And now, can I say that, you know, like you said...
Would you get... Well, I know guys that shoot, they go after the deer, and they rattle the deer that they're looking for, but it's more of that rut type time of year. So if you're out, and
I
most
will say
guys
this,
are...
Let me end it with this, though. So in that time, even though I rattled in 12 bucks, nothing was shootable, and probably in those couple years to where I... actually made the effort to take horns out there, I got screwed over more times with those with those rattling horns than I did seeing. So that's why I don't use them anymore. And I had to, you know, I had to find it out.
And
for
even
myself,
if you don't have the rattling horns, if you get a dominant deer that's all worked up and shit,
break some shit.
You bust some branches up, that son of a bitch will be on you thicker than shit.
And,
you know?
And that's the thing. You don't. But that's the gamble with me. And I look at it like this: I don't know how a certain buck's going to respond. Yeah. I grunted at a deer once. And the deer ran so fucking fast and hard away from me, and I don't even know if he was ever seen again. And I was like, "Oh my god, what did I do that for?" And he probably would have ended up coming by me, honestly. But I got all, I want to grunt this deer, and like you know, bullshit.
Man, years ago, I mean, too, I would have ran into a bar and got right into it and shit. Now I might just look and say, you know what?
Well, to whereas a different buck might have literally turned. I literally hear it. I hear it every year. I snort wheezed him in this or he.
You know,
I
wonder how many of those are actual. You know, I see my video on TV shows all the time. Guy says, "I just rattled that buck in." You didn't rattle that freaking buck in. I seen you rattle. I seen the whole scenario.
Yeah.
You had nothing to do with that buck coming in. But
yeah.
I know that there are guys that are serious with it. And here's my take again on it too. You just gave away your ambush site. You're hunting with a bow. And now you're hunting with a recurve. Now you even got to get them more intimate. Trying to get a whitetail into that distance that knows you're there. And here's one thing I've learned on that rattling. I don't care how far they are. You hit those horns, they know exactly where the hell you are. They come right to that base of that tree.
And that's exactly what was happening. So what I like in that circumstance, like, all right, this 125 is down there. I didn't know what he was, but I. hit these horns together a little bit, and he comes right up. And every encounter was a bust. But it was a success. It was like what I was doing. It was a success. Now, it wasn't.
Well, I mean,
now, that tree was all screwed after
but
that.
When I messed around with those horns, too, I mean, I could kill a lot of small deer that come in that opportunity. But it's not. It's not what I'm wanting. I'm not seeing the big guy do the mistakes, you know?
I really think that in those circumstances where that happens.
Timing's right.
Yeah, you got to catch these deer in that, like, that, I mean, where they're so strung out and they're so testosterone up and they got, I mean, like, it's got to be like the stars aligning.
I told you that year when I rattled in with the old V-bar climber, I banged on him son of a bitch and that freaking buck charged. I thought it was going to be.
They're like
kill me.
Yeah, they're like
so wound up.
They're like zombies at that point.
Right.
A couple years ago, I was driving down the farm road here. That remember that big browed old buck that was just nobody. You know, it's just an old deer. We didn't. You know, nothing really special about him. He's kind of like a management deer, not really a bully. But I'm driving down the service road and I'm glassing, and this buck comes over the ridge. It's the middle of November. He spots the Jeep and gets pissed off. He literally spotted the Jeep, and I seen him eyeing the Jeep down. I'm like, oh, he's going to bug. He's seen the Jeep. And he didn't. He freaking bristled up and started coming down the ridge sideways. And I'm like, what the fuck is this deer doing? And he can't, and he got to within like 10 feet of the Jeep. I mean, he never did anything, but I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they get to that point.
I mean, that was wild.
So a deer knows the jinx is up. Starts looking around, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Try not to get yourself in that position. Try to be the watcher and not the watched. And I think it'll help you down the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, we went off on a couple tangents, but hopefully this gives you a good insight on, you know, how we kind of assess the senses of a whitetail and, you know, what we think is a harder one to beat and whatnot. And we encourage you to use some of this stuff in the field and see if it works for you. And let us know. Comment on this podcast. Send us a message. I mean, we can dive deeper into these things and go from there. But
awesome.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in, guys. See you next time.